Okay, my name is Brent Weigel, and today's date is February 23rd, 2008. And this is Annie Enoch.
Enoch. Mm-hmm.
And here we are at the Jerusalem Baptist Church in Hurt Park. Mm-hmm. So we're ready to get started. So, where and when were you born?
I was born June 17th, 1925. Oh, I was born down in Northeast. But they have moved all that stuff now with the whatever you want to call it, but highway or whatever is coming through that. Mm. And
so how long you lived in Roanoke?
62 years. 82 years. 82 years. I've been here all my life.
And what streets did you live on?
First, Jackson Avenue, Southwest. And then 14th Street, Southwest.
And what was your house like? What was your neighborhood like?
I think it was right. We were all neighbors. You know, and everybody. Intertwined. We were all neighbors and friendly. My parents worked, and we went to school. I first went to, had a little school down the street here. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was on 10th Street, and then I went to Harrison, and from Harrison to Addison, and I graduated from Addison in 42.
What kind of work did your family do in Roanoke?
My father worked for the old silk mill, Visco, and Mama did cooking for the Smith family. Leroy Smith family.
What was school like when you were going to school here?
School. We went to school and back home. Then we went, we went through the 8th and 9th grade at Harrison, and then we went on to Addison to graduate. But it was cool, and I went.
What were some of the fun things about going to school here?
I don't know. We were all friendly in that day and time. There wasn't a whole lot of mess going on, and it was nice. I had no complaints. I had good teachers, and they were very nice to us. We had Miss Golden, who lived up here on 13th Street, and Miss Wheaton, who lived across 10th Street. And Miss Hughes, who lived, I think, on 4th Avenue. But they were good teachers. We only had three, but they were, that was at the school down here.
What kind of chores did you have at home after school?
Not too many. Because Mama worked late in the afternoon, so when my father got home, he would fix dinner for us. but I don't, you know, I don't remember any chores. We washed dishes and sort of picked up after ourselves, but nothing. I know that there were times we'd have to go over to the railroad track and pick up coal that may have blown off or fell off the coal train. But other than that, I had a, I guess you would call it sheltered life, but we didn't know any better, so we did what we were told. Everything went along all right.
What kind of stores did you have and businesses in the neighborhood?
I don't know. There was a store up on 14th Street. But I don't know that, I can't recall us ever going to it. And except for church, I can't remember anything else.
How do you see that Roanoke has changed over the years?
Oprah. Well, after my parents got sick and all, I had to move back up here to Southwest to take care of them, first my mother and then my father. And so I'm still up here now. And it's, you would never know the place. It's altogether different, altogether different. The houses are run down, the neighborhoods are different. We have, in fact, most of the houses, or most of the people that lived on 14th Street have passed, and people are renting now, and they aren't taking care of their houses or anything. And I basically stay in the house most of the time. I just mostly sit around the house, except when I come to church. And occasionally now I go to the store, but I'm not well, so most of the time if it has anything to do with driving, my daughter who lives in the old house on Grayson Avenue, she or her daughter, you know, would take me to the store and all because I don't drive too much. Now I'll drive to church and back home most of the time if I feel like it. If I don't, I'll just pick up the phone and call me and somebody come get me. Mm-hmm. But Southwest, oh, there was a barbershop on Salem Avenue where it was first right here on this corner. I can't even think of his name. My mind isn't all that it used to be. And then he moved the barbershop over on there. And then there was a store. Miss Irene's store right here on the corner, across the street from the barbershop. But I don't know. And we had, you know, churches. There was a church, a Holiness church down the street from here that my grandmother had. Not my grandmother, my mother-in-law. But, and everybody was neighbors, everybody was friendly, and everybody got along, seemingly, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that you would say we were sheltered. Because I can remember after we did the dishes, all the children would get in the street and play. But we didn't run from house to house and neighborhood to neighborhood. We were all right on 14th Street. So that's where I am now. And I see the deterioration in the streets and the houses, and people don't own them, so they don't take care of them. It's just one of those things.
Did that happen real fast at one point in time, or did it happen slowly, the change that you see?
I guess slowly. All the older people that didn't die out moved with their children who were across town or somewhere else. And the houses went up for rent. Basically, most of the houses on my street now are rented. And you've got people, I have people across the street from me that the police is there 3 and 4 times a week, and sometimes they 5 and 6 cars, and fussing and cussing. And we didn't have that. I don't remember that as I grew up. And then they have tore down a couple of the houses there. So I think my son counted it, and he said there are about 6 or 7 old family houses there now that they're basically rented. People have rented, and they don't take care of them. And now I'm in the position that I have my granddaughter and her 3 children living with me because they were evicted. They lost their home. And they don't know how to come in out the door. They have got stuff on my porch that
I would
rather not go over my front door. They say, she says that she is trying to find somewhere to go, but come April they will have been there a year, and they're running me crazy. I don't have any privacy, and you ask them to do something, and as if you hit one of them, and I don't hit them. And usually I'm shut up in my bedroom most of the time when they are there, when school's out, and the kids are there. I'm shut up in my bedroom because I don't want to hear all the noise, and they're running and ripping and up and down the steps and trying to feed the dog. It's awful.
You mentioned the silk mill. Where was that silk mill?
In Southeast.
Do you remember that closing and the effect it had on the community when it closed?
Yes, but there weren't too many people. I say weren't too many people. There were a few people that I knew that worked there on different shifts. But my father was there, I think, 32 years or more. And then when they closed, he went to Kofa Construction. My mother worked for the Kofas, and he went to Kofa Construction. And that's where he was when he died, worked at Kofa Construction. So, he always had a job. And they provided for us. I don't ever remember wanting anything, you know, that they couldn't do. Because in that day and time, you took what you got and enjoyed it. But this new generation is something else.
How did you get around Roanoke? Did you guys have a car, drive around? Did your father drive to work?
Oh, yeah. My father, ever since I can remember, had a... Well, when he first started working at the silk mill, he rode the bus. But he got a car, and once or twice a year, he would take us to North Carolina, where they are from, where they were from, to visit our grandparents and all. And he drove. But he always had a car. Because his car, my son, he had till about 3 or 4 months ago, and he sold it. So he's always had a car. But we walked. I walked to school. I went across 10th Street Bridge. And it was rattling and carrying on, but we walked. We didn't. That was what we were supposed to do. So we walked. It wasn't a whole lot of, you can't do this, and you, if they don't know her, my sister, who is 6 years younger than I, when she went to Addison, they bussed her. The city bussed her. But I walked. And, it was fine.
What was the city bus system like back then?
Well, up until, years, I can't remember. I had no problems with it. I had to walk over to Patterson Avenue to catch the bus, but that was what you did. And then they finally ran it up, I think Salem Avenue, and I could catch it on Jackson Avenue, which is 14th Street is between the two. And that's where my sister caught the bus to go to school. But the bus system was all right. I had no problems with it. None at all.
Was there a library in the neighborhood?
I don't think so.
Where did people gather?
At churches.
At church.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they went across town. Papa was a mason and a shriner. So they did, you know, they had that little thing over on Loudon Avenue, that Shriners Hall or Mason Hall or whatever you call it. And of course my mother was in that. But then after they built Hurt Park, they would have neighborhood meetings or something up there, but I never did go to any of them because at that time I was living in Northwest. So they had a baseball diamond, but they used to play baseball up off of where her park is now. And my father would take us sometime. He would go almost every Sunday, and he would take us sometime.
Who played baseball there? Was it kids or was it older people?
Older people.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Were they all from Roanoke? All from the neighborhood?
I don't know. That I don't know, because I was young at that time.
Was it free to watch, though? Okay. Who were some of the leaders that you remember in the community, either in the church or the city? Or?
Now you're asking me something I really don't know.
That's okay. That's okay.
Except for the pastor and the Sunday school teachers.
Did you have any special role models you looked up to when you were here?
Just my parents.
Did anyone in your family go to college? Or want to go to college?
My sister went. She went to A&T. I went to Bluefield State, but my mama was sick and my brothers got sick. I had two, one over me and one under me. So I had to come home and I never did go back. But I think that's all. My sister graduated and taught at Hurt Park. That's about it.
Do you have any jobs here in the neighborhood?
Me?
Yeah.
No. I worked at Burl for 3 or 4 years. I worked for Dr. F.C. Downing. At his office. When I started at Burl, how did I do that now? I think I worked in the kitchen in dietetics, and then I worked as a nurse's aide. Then I worked for Dr. Downing as a nurse's assistant. And I can't remember anymore. I know I had worked because I worked all the time.
What was your favorite job?
Nursing. I enjoyed that. I worked at Roanoke Moore Hospital. I did nurses' aid work for a couple of the families around here. And then I worked at the VA hospital for 19 years. That's the last job I've had.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any family members here that served in the military?
My brother. My oldest brother served overseas. I had twins and they served. Well, they all went overseas, even Ray. The son I had with me, he served overseas for a while, yeah. And my husband, let's see. And both husbands. I've been married twice, and both of them served overseas.
Did they have any stories of their experience?
No.
You don't talk about it much?
No. Mm-hmm. I know one of the twins got real upset because a friend that he had made friends with. I don't know how it happened now, but he got bummed or something right by him, and it killed him, and that really upset him. But no.
Were there any family stories that were passed down about your grandparents or your parents or even before that?
They were farmers. All my grandparents were farmers. And, there were no stories. We have always been sort of a close-knit family because when people went on the, went out to work on the various farms or whatever, then my cousin and I had to babysit, had to stay around and keep the younger children. And when I went to my other grandparents' house, it was the same thing. They were gone, mostly during the day. And my aunt would come home and she would fix dinner for us, so no. No, can't think of any.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share about the neighborhood and your memories of the neighborhood?
Except it's gone to the dogs now. No, the neighborhood is dying. Oh, like I say, I wouldn't a bit more come out at night because of the conflagration that they have across the street. I've never heard any guns, but like I say, the police is there all the time. And whenever we saw police as youngsters, man down the street sold whiskey. And they'd be coming checking on him. But not anymore. They're fighting and all up and down the street.
What do you think would help the neighborhood become as good as it was?
Tear it down and rebuild it. No, I don't think it's that big a problem. I just think that the group that's there now, won't talk to values. And or weren't brought up in homes like we were. They were mostly had to do for themselves, it seems like. And I don't know, they'll come outside and they're not fully dressed. It's awful. So, like I say, I stay in the house. Prisoner in my own, oh, I'm not a prisoner, but I'm shut up in my own house. So. And I can't complain too much because when I come out, I see all the trash and all the stuff that's on my porch that really I can't do anything about. You know, after my granddaughter every other day or so, when are you going to move? Well, we are waiting. We are waiting. He said he was going to inspect the place. And it's...
Is there any memories of the neighborhood that help you cheer up and kind of bring a smile to your face when you think back about it?
Oh, yeah. Like I say, they were good neighbors. We had, they were the big houses. And the people took care of their houses. They cut the grass, they picked up the trash, they did everything. And if they didn't see you, they were knocking on the door. Are you all right? But no more. You're free to open your doors now. You just don't.
Well, thanks for speaking with me today. I enjoyed talking with you.